What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, the love that Jesus has, he compares to fire. You know, talk about seasons, you know, when there's so much of our country is on fire. You know, the fires in Arizona, the fires in Australia, the fires. So much of the world is on fire. And Jesus, who is the creator, he's the Lord of heaven and earth, and he is the Lord of fire. Why would he use this analogy today to talk about his love? And here's the love that pours out of his sacred heart. It's in Luke's gospel, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 49th verse. I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. That's the example he used. Think of the love of God and the intensity with which he is loving each one of us. I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must baptize, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Your baptism, your being set on fire by Jesus, that's what he longs for, the establishment of the church. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? Now it's taking a twist. No, I tell you, I rather have come to bring division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Today, the focus is not on business, schools, education, amusement. It's the focus is on the family. The fire that Jesus has come to cast on the earth is to set all our hearts ablaze with divine love. You know, when I was out in Omaha and you introduced me to this family, I remember they wanted to meet me. And the wife came, and then the husband came along, as I recall. And here were parents very much in love with their children. And I thought of them as an example of this fire that our Lord talked about. And as the father and mother talked with me, they had these sons. And they were really, they just loved them. They grew up, they cared for these sons of theirs. The one boy went to college, he was living with his girlfriend, and they hated what he was doing. He was living in concubinage with this girl. And it was permitted in the school that he went to. He was doing drugs, and they hated what he was doing, but they loved him. He wanted to come home. They said, no, you're not welcome in the house. And I saw the tears in the father. They loved their son. They continued to love. How does a father love his child and a mother love her son when they have this kind of behavior? You reject the behavior and you continue to love your son. What we really did was increase and intensify the prayers and the sacrifices for this boy who was lost. And what he was going to do was really get himself so mixed up and so destroyed in what he was doing. That's in the same Mass today in Romans, Paul tells us about what is going on in their family and in the families of so many like them. In the Romans, the sixth chapter, it talks about, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your nature. For just as you presented the parts of your bodies as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness for lawlessness, so now present them as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. But what profit did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. And so this boy might think, just having sex with his girl before marriage, it's all right. He's presenting his parts of his body, his sexuality, this girl, to him. But it's not for the law of God and righteousness. It's really sin, and there's destructiveness in that. This earthly father and mother are divided with their son on that. And so they reject that. But it's not a rejection of the son. It's a rejection of that behavior. I have so many are coming today who are so filled with the destructiveness of what's going on in the families. There's this young man who's coming to me. I see him. I thank God I've been seeing him now for well over a year. And when he first came, he and his girlfriend had lived together and had done drugs. And they had also gotten themselves into all kinds of immoral, terrible behavior, especially with regard to spirits. They got into witchcraft. And they had a child. And this baby was so exposed to it. Now, this child is now 4 years old, but it's still tortured by dreams. It's tormented by some kind of spirits that are still going over and bringing terrible sufferings. He split from this girl who is still into the witchcraft. He has taken his child, and they both are living with his parents. She's living on the street someplace. This father and mother saw their son do this. Now he's coming back from this. He's been saved from this torturous life that he'd been into. Now what this young man is doing, he's watching his son suffer because of the consequences of what St. Paul talked about there. This kind of behavior, this sin, has consequences to it. And so Paul goes on, for the end of these things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit that you have leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This little boy, he's going to be coming to me. He's only 4 years old. He's tortured. He was the product. When you get into that life of debauchery, it has consequences. To bring this little boy back, the father, through penance, through prayer, but his little boy is still suffering. Listen to what Paul also teaches us in his epistle to the Galatians. Now the wages of the works of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. The fruit of what he had done, when Paul says the wages of sin is death, he spells it out there in his letter to the Galatians. So many families right now that I just see every day, fathers and mothers, children, grandchildren, when your grandson is on drugs, and you enable him to continue in that life. Let him go to jail. Let him be out in the streets. You are not loving that person by enabling him, by keeping him. You do not love someone that you let continue to live this life of sin. The intensity of your prayer increases. Your love, which is true love of the Sacred Heart in you for that child, is not in your allowing him and continuing to enable him in the lifestyle that he's living. The households that are so divided on this, I see that maybe right now, I know a wife that is telling her husband, do not go to see her anymore. Do not take her out of jail again. And her husband is enabling her. And they're clashing. Do they love her? What I see is the husband who is so enabling to his daughter is doing her no good. There's no fruit coming from it. She just goes from one, she does what she does and doesn't suffer the consequence because her father is continuing to bail her out. The mother is calling me and she's saying, look what he's doing. But the conflict is there. And it's going on right now. In many households, there is this conflict. Is there a lack of love? Yes, I really believe that this love that Jesus has for that family, for each family, is the truly his love. And oftentimes, it's that love that leads to eternal life, not to the life here on earth. And many times, the appetites of sin want to reach out. And just so when your son enters a gay marriage, you can reject that marriage. Because what's he doing? As Paul talks about that, he's sodomizing himself. Maybe the world calls it love that he has for his gay partner. But that's sodomy. That's sin. That's destruction. That's shame. Open it up for what it is. And see, that's what your son is doing. And that's going to lead to death. So the acceptance of the person, always, the love that drives me, the love that consumes me, the love that I have, is always, always this love. And it's a fire of love. It's a baptism that Jesus has for every soul. But the division comes when we really only see the temporality of whatever it is that the action of what the other one is taking. This son, young man that I'm working with, he and his son, after this constant renewal that he's doing, this young man is now caught on fire with renewal and with love as he separated himself from the girlfriend, but he sees the consequences still within him and within his son, the tendencies, still the spirits of evil that are still there. There's another young man that he just recently has broken from a relationship that he had and had two children by, but it was a life of debauchery, a life of depravity, and the consequences that he has as he recovers in his new life, in his renewal. It's not instant or immediate. You don't go from a life of this kind that he was living to a new life of grace. And so it takes deep prayer and the burning love of Jesus within each heart of a father, a mother, a child. And I really believe the grace of God is so important. And if you really, really love your children, if you really, really love your parents, if you really love each other in the family, the focus is on the family, you will live that with the heart of Christ. When I was first tuned to the realization that Christ was in me, I was 21 years old, and I was at Catholic University, and I awakened to the truth of what my baptism really meant. I was a child of God, and Jesus was in me, and I was in him. God was my father. And I realized that my dad was so angry with one of his competitors in business that he actually had forbidden his children to talk to the competitor and their family who lived right across the street. They were our neighbors. And when I come home, that was the beginning of my conflict with my father. And it was so hot. This gospel came alive for me. I said to my dad, "Dad, you're wrong in the hatred you have for our neighbor. You're wrong in directing your children not to talk to their neighbors because we were friends with their children. This man was trying to drive my father out of business by undercutting him and destroying his business. And my father hated him. He was hitting him. He was hitting my father in his pocketbook. He was trying to take away the customers that he had. And this hatred was, and he was so furious, and he was so angry, and it consumed him. And I remember talking to my dad every day, going back and forth. That was the first Christmas that I had come home and talked to my dad about his potential to forgive, that Christ was in him, and he had the law of God in him, that God wanted him to forgive and to love. He was the practical businessman. He always had put so much food on our table and took care of us, and we had a lovely home, and we had a lovely lifestyle. But this was really that which caused it. It was right in his economic heart, and he was threatening his business and therefore his family, and it was thing that he was going to circle the wagon wheels and cut us off from our neighbor. And yet Jesus was driving me to tell my dad that was the wrong way to do it. And as he gradually worked this through, so many things happened. It was really a very painful process. But I remember my dad telling me before he died, he said, "You know, John, you were the one who fathered me in the faith. I was your earthly father, but spiritually, you gave me the faith. I could never have given it to you." And my dad is now, I know, for eternity in eternal happiness. But long before that, he had faced this demon of hatred in his heart. And the suffering that Paul said that we're going through, you know, that if you give yourself over to those that sin, then it's only going to bring destruction and that kind of division in my father's heart. God was his judge, but I was really there trying to show him and indicate a way to him that was more. And there in that family relationship, how many of us today are involved in conflict with our families? Yesterday, I was with a young man who, because of the hatred he had for his dad, his dad always called him a fag. Right from early childhood, he was so hating his dad for the way his dad had treated him over the years. And this young man was telling me how deeply, deeply he hated his father, that he actually said within himself, "I can't wait till you get so old and in a wheelchair," because his father used to beat him up all the time when he was a kid. "And when that happens, I'm going to kill you." That was the hatred he built up as a child toward his father. What Jesus was saying today is so real. every day I meet families that are divided, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, families. Today, Jesus is saying, I have a burning love. When you look at your image of the Sacred Heart, see there in him fire. Why does he use that image? It's blazing love for you and for your family. Beloved Father, let that blaze catch into your heart. Beloved Mother of the family, husbands and wives, parents and children, children for your parents, brothers and sisters, today the focus is on the family, and the fire of divine love is there. And where did it come from? Listen to the gospel again. St. Luke's gospel tells us it comes from your baptism. It began when you were baptized. Today, the focus is on the Christian family. I have come to set the earth on fire. How I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized. And how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. When you were taken to the baptismal font, that fire of Jesus came into you. You are ablaze with that divine love. And that fire is consuming and driving. It is greater than any force in the world. As you look at your enthroned image of the Sacred Heart, ask Jesus, who is in you, to consume you, to burn in you, for love of your father, for love of your son, for love of your daughter-in-law. Today, focus on your family. Let every member of your family, through the heart of Jesus in you, experience the tenderness and the power. If it's their activity and their what they're doing or their behavior that turns you off, increase your love for that one. There are those who are doing things that are most depraved. Go to that one with increased love. Who is the one in your family whose behavior you most reject? Let that be the one whom you pray for more intently and with deeper sincerity from the deepest part of your heart. Don't reject the person. See, when my dad rejected his neighbor because of the behavior, then that's what was happening. That was the negative that was causing him destruction because of a hatred. If you allow hatred to come into your heart, when that young boy whose father was calling him a fag, when he allowed hatred to enter into his heart, that was the destruction of that young man. When he was telling me yesterday what happened to him as his heart now turned to love and forgiveness. See, that's the key. Only Jesus in each of us can bring about, even though there's division, you can reject the behavior, but you always love the person. And it's that love that will bring salvation to the family.
Monsignor?
Yes?
What should the parent out there do? Because you, I would imagine many of those who are listening to your podcast may be experiencing this, where they have adult children whom they love very much, as described in the story you told earlier, who have children that are in lifestyles that are so damaging morally. They may be in a situation where they're cohabitating still with another, They may be in relationships, same-sex relationships, and they love them and they reach out to them. But what is the line? What is the line that in dealing with their kids that they shouldn't cross? I mean, what is acceptable? I mean, how do they behave if even in loving them, the behavior continues?
Yes. Yeah. The deepest part of your heart is, especially, I noticed with that couple that I described, that the deepest part of their hearts, this father came to tears, but he did not allow his son to do this in his house. So he rejects the behavior. And I think that would be the external sign, is Jesus has said, I will bring it about. I will bring a division between a father and a son. Son, you can't do that. But that's the behavior that the father rejects. But the love in the father's heart for the son, when he said, I will come to bring the division, the son wants to hang on to the behavior, but the father wants to hang on to his son in love. And so where does that happen? It happens in his heart. So my advice would be to continue in your heart to pray. Maybe this is going to bring about your sacrificing, your fasting, your increased prayer for that son of yours until he returns. That would be my advice. And how many have the behavior continues, but the prayer is also even greater. The more intense the love, because the behavior is, because you really are concerned about their eternal salvation. Supposing, like one of the young people recently, that her mother was very concerned about her, and she was like motorcycling in California and got killed. And that can happen. She was only 19 years old. A lot of people who live this lifestyle die. Another one was telling me recently that she was here. Her husband had just died, but her son died 3 years before, and I was with her. She was still mourning the son's death because it was a suicide, and he had overdosed. And she was in mourning because of her husband's death, but the death of the son, she was even grieving more. She said, because if I would only know where his soul was, you know, and my only consolation to her would be to say, God loves him more than you do. And if you even now, right now, see that your son died in an overdose, God knows every detail of that overdose. He knows when and how it happened. And God would want to bring about the salvation of your son's soul. Every parent, you know, there's, you know, do you hate your children? What do you come to do in your heart? You love them even more, even though they may be defying what you and God want them to do.
Yeah, there seems to be, even beyond dealing with children, maybe dealing with family and friends, between loving the person, loving them dearly and interacting, engaging with them, and condoning a behavior.
That's it. Yeah. And or enabling it.
Yeah. I mean, how do you make that clear without, I think part of it is the fear of being rejected by the person, even though you're trying to reach out to them in love.
Well, I'm pretty sure that many of the people that I know, the one who isn't getting what he wants or she wants or demands is feeling rejected. And that does happen. Yes. Yeah, there is the feeling of rejection. And there will be for a time. You're allowed, I think, to let this happen for a time, because what you're really dealing with is eternity. It's a question of time. Can you let it, during months and years to go, that they feel rejected for eternity? So that if that son of yours doesn't really get to heaven, that would really be tragedy. It's eternal life that he's doing things against. And that's what Jesus is saying here. What I'm demanding because that's what Jesus is demanding. I want you to submit to my Father and the eternal law of love. And it, when you don't submit to that, what you're gambling with is your eternity. There's no compromise in what Jesus is saying. That's why his law of love is so uncompromising. It's absolute. And if you don't keep it, you're going to lose it.
Final thoughts, Monsignor?
Even though we have this division in today's gospel as the theme, I would like to just conclude with what the call of the heart of Jesus is for the family. We are one body. We are one body in the Lord. We are one body. We are one body in the Lord. God bless.